Are we just singing that, or are we saying, God, whatever it is, it's all, none of it's of importance. It's all undone right here, Lord. It's all before you. You see it all. God, you make a change. You cut out what needs to be cut out. I want to speak to you this morning. But I want us to understand here today that you're here, and maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're dealing with certain things and say, well, I would do this for God, but maybe after I take care of this. Or I'm just not capable of doing it like this person, or like Pastor is, or like Brother Nick is, or whoever it may be. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. To who? To him that believeth. Amen. You've heard me say this many times, folks, but Noah was not an ark builder before God got a hold of him. Come on. Moses was a shepherd. God took him in and led a kingdom, led a nation. Let me tell you this today. I want to speak to you today about change. It's a new season. God wants to do some things in this church. And you can fight him all you want, but you're going to get left behind. Come on. Come on. And I'm telling you this morning, as your pastor, or if you're new here and you want me to be your pastor, I'll gladly be your pastor. I want God to use everybody in this building. Come on. So let me tell you this right now. If you are not being used in this church, it's your own fault. I'm telling you that this morning. Right? Because now you may not want to line up to where I'm asking you to line up to be used. It's your fault though. Change. It's a new season. We are a church of small groups. I'm asking you today to be a part of a small group. And listen, there's three things I ask you to do to be a part of a small group. Show up, participate, and bring a friend. That's all you got to do. Come on. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You're there, say amen. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How does God want us to be transformed? By what? The renewing of your mind. You know what that means? You can't think like you thought before. You got to think differently. Why does he want us to renew our minds? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Come on. I just got to say it. Well, I can't be used because pastor wants me to do this, wants to do that, wants to do this. God makes you do certain things to live for him, doesn't he? Right? You can't live for God any old way you want. We've got to renew our mind. We can't think like that. I don't care what. If you had a pastor before that treated you terrible, I don't care. It's a new day. Come on. You know, there are people that they get attitudes toward certain churches or toward an organization. And I said, you know, every family has a member of somebody in their family that we're all like, oh boy. Come on. We all have them, don't we? Listen, does that make the whole family bad? God's got a church, folks, and it's on the move. You can be seated. Amen. God's got a church and it's on the move. You see, think about it for a minute today, folks. If you could change anything about yourself, where would you start? Anybody? Where would you start if you could change anything about yourself today? Trust, all right. Trust more people? Yes, sister. Turn my will over to God. Brother? Thoughts. Now, see, you're messing up my sermon here this morning. Now, listen. Most people would say, I want to be skinnier. Come on now. You're just being spiritual here this morning. I know. Some say, I would like to be taller. Is there anybody here would like to be taller? I knew Sister Samantha would over here. You know, Brother Nate was saying, Brother Greg back there. I didn't even see him back there. You stand up, brother. Brother Nate said, Sister Samantha has dominated the building, but she is. She's small, but she's dominating this whole building next week. Some people would say, I want to be shorter. Would you change your eyes, your hair, maybe your teeth, or your legs, your bulges? If you could have a magic wand and change your outward appearance, would it be to light touch or extreme makeover? Would we even be able to recognize you? I think we all go through periods, folks, where we desperately want to change our outward appearance. Teenagers live in a state of constant fear that they don't look good enough, and so they tinker with this and they experiment with this and this fad and that fashion and whatever everyone happens to be wearing. But when we grow older, we get smarter. Or do we really? We spend hours trying to find just the right outfits. We diet obsessively and work out, which is good for our health, but we can fight a losing battle often. Because after we lose the weight, we finally look good, and it tends to come creeping back again, doesn't it? And finally, you reach that stage in life where it is easier simply to just cover it up than to lose it. Come on. And in extreme cases, we just give up altogether and stop caring about how we look. God help us. But most people change slowly if they change at all. But as hard as it is to change on the outside, folks, it seems infinitely harder to change what's in here. And what's in here. If there is anything that we know about human nature, it is that people change slowly if they ever change at all. Think about the struggles of your own life. What would you change about yourself on the inside if you could? Would it be impatient spirit? Would it be a critical tongue? Would it be envy of those around you? Would it be a spiritual discontentment? Would it be lingering resentment? Or would it be lust that you can't conquer? Or would it be a financial mismanagement or guilty conscience? Or the ability to work with others? Or overbearing stubbornness? Or judgmental spirit? Would it be a quick temper or a profound discouragement or the inability to appreciate life or an ungrateful spirit or disorganized life or the inability to say no or a mean streak you can't seem to get rid of? What would it be? Would you change? What would you change about yourself if you could? See, we all want to change something, but we don't know how to do it. And we don't know where to begin. We all dream of being something different and better than the other person or somebody how we used to be days ago or years ago. We want to be better today. Advertisers know these things, folks. That's why your email box is crammed full of ads promising you to lose weight now or make money overnight or to learn a new language or whatever you want to put there. But we all know change is hard, right? Go to any bookstore and you will see an entire wall or maybe several walls of self-help books. Helping people change is big business nowadays, folks. But when we get up in the morning and we look into the mirror and all we see is the same old person looking right back at us, the same problems that we went to bed with, the same issues that we've been dealing with for years, we look in the mirror and we see them every day. And that's why we move. That's why we change jobs. That's why we get facelifts and new cars and new careers and new boyfriend or girlfriend or maybe go to a different church or we start working out, buy a new outfit. Amen. And on it goes, folks. It is not as if those things are wrong in themselves. Sometimes we need to make outward changes. But it is not the outward stuff that trips us up. It is the stuff on the inside. The stuff on the inside that we can't seem to fix. There's an emptiness. There's a void. It's on the inside. And I'm telling you here today, only God can fill that void. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, verse 11 through 14, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. It was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And in the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now hear me. Before computers, iPads, cell phones, watches, and even paper and pencil existed, folks, God gave us something to help us keep track of where we are concerning time. And if you don't know where you are, hear me, you will never be able to determine where you are going. Come on. Seasons let us know when to do what. Amen? Time to go to work. Break time. It's lunchtime. Time to go home. It's church time. Come on. Seasons, time. Seasons let us know what to do. Without seasons, we become frustrated because we do things. We would be doing things at the wrong time. Doing things at the right time, folks, is crucial. Therefore, seasons are important. We cannot know that change is taking place in our lives unless we have a season. Now, God could have caused the sun to shine all the time and seasons to never change. But if he had done that, folks, we would never know when to rest and when to harvest what we've planned. So, God created seasons. Change, I'm telling you today, is on its way. Amen. God is not satisfied with leading us the way He found us. I said, God is not satisfied with leading us the way He found us. I feel like the Lord wants me to tell somebody here this morning, the season you were in and the season you are in right now is about to change. Hallelujah. Something powerful is coming and you're going to want to be ready when it does come. Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Listen to this. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment shall condemn. And that is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hear me, it does not matter what you've been fighting against. It's about to fall. It does not matter who's been saying whatever. That's about to go away. Amen. God said, every tongue that rises against you, I will condemn. Change is coming. You are about to go through a season of change. Something you are trying to, you've been trying to do before, but couldn't. Something you have been racking your brain over. Something you have been praying about. A wall, folks, that you just can't seem to get over. A situation that just will not change. The problem that just won't go away. The impossibility that has held back the potential in your life and the walk with God. It is about impossible. It is a new season today. Come on. I wish you would get with me this morning. Come on. You want to be a part of a new season? Hallelujah. Hear me. I am saying this because I have a question for you. Isn't it about time you find yourself in the season that God wants you to be in? Some of you do. Come on, how about it? How about being in God's season instead of your own season? How about doing things for God instead of having it your way all the time? I'm going to break it down for some of us. You've been shoveling snow, but it's summertime all around you. It's the wrong season, folks. You've been working too hard at something that wasn't God's timing. It's not God's timing for it. Well, I'm doing something for God. I'm going to church. You've been working too hard at something that wasn't in God's timing. You've been planting a vegetable garden, but it's too late in the season for that. It's time to reap the harvest. And if you are too busy digging in the dirt when it's time to go pick some fruit, you are going to miss out, folks, on a tremendous blessing from God in your life. Your season is messed up. Come on. You're working hard, but you've been doing everything that you know to do, and that's the problem. But it's the wrong season. If you're planting those rows nice and straight and they look good and you know to plant this next to this and this next to this, that's all well and good, but I'm telling you, it's the wrong season. You can do everything just right, but it's not the right season. And God wants, folks, and God is about to bring your life into alignment with the season. He wants you the season that He wants you to be in. You understand what I'm saying here today? Change is coming. I ask you, are you ready for change? Have you grown tired of the season that you've been in? Now listen, I don't like a lot of change. I doubt that many of us here in this room like change. But let me be honest with you today, folks, enough to tell you, neither do I like where I've been at times in my life. And I want, hear me today, I want God to change some things about me. You see, there might be an attitude that you want God to get away from you. There might be something in your life that you need to let go of. It's time for a change. It's time for a new season. There's a reason to move on. You see, the sun is setting on a few things. The season is changing with a few situations. A new day. Hear me today. A new day is on the horizon. Something is about to change in your life. Now, if you're like most people, you don't like change. But we need to know, folks, that change comes and seasons come and go, whether we want them to or not. Daniel 2, verse 21. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. The best thing that we can do is allow our minds to comprehend that there are some things that we are not in control of. That's what Daniel 21 tells us, that seasons are God's business, folks. We need to understand that and accept that. We like it or not, folks, acknowledge it or not, folks, some things God has ordained for His glory that we may not understand. But folks, He is infinite in His infinite wisdom, in His love for us. He has preordained and ordered them for our benefit. And these things, and these are the seasons of our lives. If we are prayerful, if we are sensitive to His workings in our life, He will bring us, folks, into a specific season where His will can be done throughout us and in us. A season where there is no frustration. A season where we are reaping in due season. A season where confusion falls away. A season where destiny is found. A season where purpose is fulfilled. A season where some things you have been fighting against begin to work alongside of you. Am I talking to anybody here today? Come on, am I talking to anybody here? God help us. God help us to let go of where we have been. God help us to reach where You're taking us. Change is coming! You see, it's not just the turning of the trees. It's not just the temperature change. It's not just the lowering of the sun on its axis, folks. There is a season of change that is happening right now in the realm of God's Spirit and in our lives. Daniel 2, verse 21 said, I read it earlier, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removes the kings and setteth up the kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He does it. And all I can say to you is this, get ready for it. Get ready for it. It's coming. Change is on its way. Something's about to be different. What it used to look like isn't what it's going to look like any longer. How I felt in the past isn't going to be the way it feels in the future. The season is changing for you. In Exodus 33, Moses was trying to lead the children of Israel away from Egypt and into a place that God had prepared for them. And Moses said to God, God, show me your glory. In other words, God, show me your power. God, show me your potential. God, show me, God, what you are capable of doing. And so God puts Moses in the cleft of the rock, the Bible says. In other words, folks, he put Moses in a hole. See, before you could see God's glory, God might have to put you in a hole someplace. Are you willing to do that? God might have to put you in a hole somewhere. He may have to put you somewhere that you are unfamiliar with, a place maybe where you're uncomfortable with. Someone once said, I don't like here in this hole. I don't like where God has me here right now. I'm a little claustrophobic. But can you imagine being in a hole, folks, that God put him in, and suddenly he looks and sees the glory of God pass over. Moses sees the glory of God pass over him. Now, I don't know about you, but folks, God put me in a hole if you have to today, God. God put me there. Make me as uncomfortable, God, as you need to, God. But God, let me see your glory. God, let me feel your presence. I don't care what hole you put me in. I just want the presence of God. God had to take Moses from where he was to a place where he would recognize God's workings and God's glory in his life. You see, I think there's some of us here today, we need to understand what God is about. We need to be able to see God's glory. We need to be able to see him working in our life. And more importantly, folks, Moses had to recognize the strategic moment in time that God had placed him in order to understand that new season was about to happen, not only for Moses, but also for the entire nation of Israel. Hear me today, folks. I hope there's some apostolics at Church of Pentecost today that says, God, in order to save my family, put me in a hole. God, do whatever. Change me, but change my neighborhood. Change me, but change my workplace. Change me, but change my family. What are we willing to do to see revival in our lives? Folks, there are moments that happen in our lives, and they happen for a purpose. We cannot wish some things away. We cannot just close our eyes and wait for the storm to end. We need to lean into the winds of adversity in our lives and recognize that there is a gust that is hitting us. See, if we look, the clouds begin to break and the sun starts to shine. You may not understand the season that you're in right now, but understand this. Know this today, folks. I'm telling you, that season is not permanent. Change is coming. The sun and the moon and the stars are going to move on to things that will change in your life. You're going to find yourself in a new season. A season that makes sense. A season that matches your purpose and God's vision for your life. And God, see folks, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm trying to get you to say some things. You hear me? I'm trying to get you to say some things that could change your destiny. That to say some things that can change the destiny and God's direction for your life. Something that might be different and what you've been saying. You might be saying, I'll always have this problem. You might be saying, things will never change. You might be saying, it's not going to get any better for me. But you need to begin to believe that God right now, the change is on its way. It's a new season, folks. Things are about to get better. Amen. Things are about to get easier. Things are about to produce. Some things you've been struggling with in your life are about to come into alignment. Greater things come when seasons change. Changing seasons prepare us for what is coming. Fall prepares us for winter, which ultimately makes room for spring and summer. Change is coming. It's time for a new season for somebody here today. There is a reason to move on. The sun is shifting. The season is changing. A new day is on the horizon. Something is about to change in your life. Praise Him right now. See, when you've been in God's presence, something is supposed to change in your life. You hear me? I said, when you've been in God's presence, something is supposed to change. Moses saw God's glory. He saw God's goodness. And the Bible says his face was lit up or shone with the glory of God. See, when you get into the presence, God's presence, something should change in your life. You may wonder why some people worship the way they do. You may wonder why some people come down to the altar and pray like they do. You may wonder why some people attend church as much as they do. It's because they saw His glory and it changed them forever. Their lives have been changed. Where? In the presence of God. There is something different about them. It's not just a lifestyle change. It's a holiness change. See, when Jesus touches your life, there needs to come change in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me ask you today, apostolics, are you hanging on to old things? Come on. Are there still old things in your life? I'm just a stubborn old person. I'm just this. I'm just that. God don't want you to just. Come on. Oh, when you come in contact with Christ, the scripture says you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Are they? Are you holding on to something? What's wrong with you? Come on, when we get lined up with that scripture and the old things are gone and all the new things come, what's wrong? Huh? You act a little different. You talk a little bit different. I'm in a new season. I'm not where I was before. I was into all kinds of things, but now I'm into Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a new creature. You see, we should expect something that God would want to bring us into something different. We should expect that. God doesn't want me to stay here. He wants me to be better. We should expect that. We should expect that there should be a change in us. We should expect that God would be working behind the scenes to bring about a positive change in our lives. We should expect that, folks. How many of you are ready for a season of change? Come on. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready for God to do something different in your life? Genesis 1:14. And God said, listen, God's saying, You know the old commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. When God speaks, you need to listen. Amen? Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the way from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Whether we want it to or not, whether we are ready for it or not, something is about to break in some people's lives. And God is about to take you out of the season you've been in and take you to a new season. Now for many of us here, maybe all of us here, we are ready for change. The one thing that we need to understand about God is that He is God of all. He is God by Himself. In Genesis, we find God creating. Amen? Anybody here believe in evolution? I hope not, because God created. We find God creating. And at each creative day, we see God praising Himself. It was good. Right? At the end of the sixth creative day, in which He created mankind, we find Him saying, it was very good. Right? God created man. It's very good. Pat yourself on the back. Come on. In Genesis 1, verse 27, listen. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. See, before there was the first day, there was God. Before the first star, moon, planet, sun, there was God. Amen? Can we say amen? God has been and always will be. Can we say amen? He is God all by Himself. There is none like Him. He is all sufficient. He doesn't need anyone's help. And one thing we know about God is that He is a creator. Can you say amen? In fact, He is the creator. Psalms 90 verse 2 says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from the everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Before there was the first moment or the first second, as far back as you can go, there was God. And as far forward as you can see beyond that point into eternity, He is still God. The Bible starts out with these words. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning of God's existence, because He is eternal, but in the beginning of time as we know it. In the beginning of the creation of what we can know and what we can measure to some degree, but not the beginning of God, for God has no beginning. Everything that happened in creation came of Him. The stars, the atmosphere, the stuff that would allow life to exist on this planet, the sun to shine in the day and the moon to shine at night, the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, the creeping things and the crawling things, the fruit trees, herbs and forests and the grassy fields, all of this came of God. Creation came out of Him. It oozes out of God. Hear what I'm saying? Hear me today. Say it with me. Creation came out of Him. It oozed out of Him. You see, God just can't help Himself with some of what He was creating. Things so incredible and things so amazing that to this day, folks, we still are amazed at God's creation. Scientists spend their whole careers, hear me, listen to me today. Scientists spend their whole career studying just one little part of God's creation and never get to see all of it and understand it all. Things so small and close to us that we can't even see them with our own naked eyes and with the best microscopes. Things so big and so far away, we can only hypothesize as to where they are and how big they are. The first thing that God tells us about Himself in His Word is that He's a creator. God is a creator. Folks, you need to understand that. God is a creator. God doesn't need anything to work with. You know, scientists, they try to create all these things, but they use things God created. God didn't need any of it. He doesn't need anyone's help. He can make it happen all by Himself. And we can say a lot of things about Him to try to describe God, but the first thing we need to understand about God is that He is a creator. Well, listen, if your God today is a creator, and you are created in His likeness and in His image, guess what? That means you are creative. Oh, I can't do anything. I have no skill. You are creative. You were created and you were made in His image. You are creative. Someone, somewhere down inside of you, there is creativity. Hear me? Somewhere. I don't know where you're going to find it, but you got to look. It's there. You are creative. I want you to let that sink in. Hear me. Just take a moment. Sink. You are creative. Creative. Say this with me. I am creative. Now let it sink in. God does not give us everything. Right? God does not give us everything. He does not give us everything we ask for when we ask for it. All right? God doesn't give you your house, your chairs, your kitchen table. He gives us trees. He does not give us light bulbs. He gave Benjamin Franklin a light bulb. That's what the story says. Right? He does not give us cars, trains, airplanes. He gives us a new raw materials to make them. You see, it is up to us to decide what we are going to do with the things God gives us. Some people think that because they prayed for God to give them a fence around their yard, that it's just going to pop up someday. But understand something here. Somewhere along the line, the creative part that God put in our DNA at creation must go to work. Someone had to stretch a string. Someone has to begin to measure. Someone has to cut down some trees. Someone has to cut them into boards. Someone has to melt something into iron and shape it into nails. Someone has to begin laying the boards on top of the other ones and fashion them into such a way that it will not fall apart when the wind blows. You see, folks, God doesn't just give us things. We need to create something from what He has given us dominion over. Are you understanding what I'm saying here today? If our God is the creator and we are made in His likeness, then at certain times in our lives and at certain seasons, there needs to come something out of us. So when you pray, you need to be specific, folks, and tell God exactly what you have need of. But when it shows up, don't expect it to look like what you asked for. It may show up in raw form so you can pull it out of your circumstance and out of your situation. Someone said, God, give me patience. Understand, folks, God will not just give you a peace of mind to be able to put up with people and to put up with stuff when things are going wrong in your life. No, understand, patience comes only one way, by living through and surviving some really hard times. If you are praying for patience, you should be watching for God to bring some adversity into your life. If you are praying for a financial blessing, understand it will not show up in the form of a winning lottery ticket, or in the form of an inheritance from a rich uncle. It's going to show up in the form of faithfulness to Him. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're asking God for a job, you better ask Him for a job that doesn't take you out of church. I'll say this till my dying day. If you want to be in God's house, you can be in God's house because He'll make a way. If you want to do a work for God, He'll make a way. You can blame whatever you want to blame, but it ain't God's fault. See, when other people would take it, things from God, and waste it on their own selfish pleasures, when you ask God for a financial blessing, God would say, be faithful to my kingdom. Amen? We ask God for all kinds of things, but we should realize that His answer is probably going to show up in a raw form that requires something from us to take, to bring into fruition. Someone said, I want some food. God said to a man, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Get a job. That's not me, that's Bible, folks. Someone said, God, I want a home. God says, well, work harder. Stop spending your money like on junk. Start saving for a down payment. Someone said, God, I want a husband or wife. God says, well, why don't you get closer to me and learn how to love me? And I can show you love that another person can bring. And it won't hurt you. It won't cause a living wreck in your life. I'm not trying to be mean here this morning, folks. I'm saying that sometimes we pray for things and we expect things one way when God has given us things that we need to be successful in our lives. It's just that we want Him to give us our things in finished form. And that's not the way God works. He gives us what we have need of. Then it's up to us to decide what to do with it. God doesn't give us the job of our dreams. He gives us some little jobs doing some things, some insignificant things, and waits for us to learn how to be faithful. And it causes us to get promoted. See, you are creative. You need to get yourself into an environment where the creativity can be encouraged. Why do you want to hang around somebody that doesn't want to do anything? Get yourself behind somebody that says, come on, you can live for God. You can do this. You can make this situation better. Come on, you got it in you? We're sometimes too easily offended. We need to grow up. Let somebody tell you like it is. Let somebody put you in your place. Oh, don't tell me. I don't want my feelings hurt. Well, then you're never going to be creative. You're never going to do anything for God. The Bible tells us He disciplines those that He loves. If God's got you around somebody that'll tell you like it is, you need to thank God for them. You are creative. Get yourself into an environment where the creativity can be encouraged. Who you are, what you are, and what you are capable of should not be defined by the people you hang around, the neighborhood you grow up in, the environment of your home. Who you are, and what you will become, folks, hear me today, is entirely, completely up to you. We've been duped into allowing people to tell us that we are the victims of our circumstances. I am so sick of that. And this ain't something I just made up through this Bible study. You can ask my boys. They were never allowed to tell me, I can't. You know what I told them? Can't means you don't want to. You can do whatever you put your mind to. I believe it with all of my heart. God gave us a powerful mind, folks. Someone here needs to know that you are not a victim. You are a victor. Come on. Victory in Jesus. Romans 8, 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accountable as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It's time for a season of change. Come on. Stop making excuses why you can't serve God. Stop making excuses why you can't do something for God. Stop making excuses why you can't do what the pastor's asking you to do. I'm telling you, we are creative. And if you want to do it, hear me, if you want to do something for God, you will do it. It's time for something to break loose inside of you that says, I am not staying where I was. It's time for something to wake up inside of you. It's time for something to start germinating. It's time for some creative part of you that says, this is not how it's going to remain. Something's got to change. It looks like a tree. But I need a chair. Come on. God, I asked God for this. It looks like a tree, but I need a chair. Guess what? Give me the axe. Come on. Something's got to change. It looks like a penny on the sidewalk, but I need a financial breakthrough. It looks like a rocky marriage, but I need someone to love my, I need to love my spouse like they need loved. Amen. Like they want to be loved, and God will heal the situation. It looks like the loneliness of a single life, but I need God to bring me someone who will love me the way God loves me. It looks like my relationship with God is going to continue to just exist, but God, help me to draw close to you and be mightily used of you. It looks like a season of hopelessness, despair, and want, but there is a season of change that God wants me to walk into. It doesn't have to stay the way it was. I'm going to begin to walk not only in the promise of God, but also in the will of God, so I can begin to see some raw materials become the miracles that I've been praying for. When the seasons of our lives change, so should some of the stuff that we are doing change. Folks, you cannot be out with your lawnmower when there's a foot of snow in your yard. We do things differently during different seasons of our lives. Understand that with me today. If you are wanting to move out of the season that you are currently in and into the season that God is wanting to take you, there are some things that are going to have to be put away first in your life. Before you know it, we're going to be putting the lawnmowers away. And we're going to get the snowblower and the snow shovels out. God help us. Why? Because we know there's another season that's coming. And we don't want to get caught doing what we were doing before in our new season. Folks, doing the wrong thing in the wrong season, that creates a lot of confusion in our lives and in our ministries. So what was it that I'm not doing in my present season that I needed to start doing to prepare myself for the season of change that God wants to take me into? What is it that needs to happen so that I can sustain the good things that God wants to bring into my life? What changes need to happen in my life? What should I stop focusing on and start focusing on? What should I stop praying for and start praying for? How should I stop acting and start acting? Show me, God, the hatred that I should put away so I can find the peace of mind that I need to be able to love people and be loved by people. Come on. What raw materials can I turn into a finished product? Folks, the reason that we are stuck in our situations and limited by our circumstances is often because we have allowed other people to convince us that we are bound to our conditions. We too often think that we are somehow victims of all the things that has gone on in our lives or what is going on in our lives. And what we forget is that we have the same creative DNA in us, folks, that God has. And we are made in His image. And we are made in His likeness. That means we have within us, hear me today, we have the ability to recognize when it is time to take the raw materials and turn them into something that is useful and beneficial and conductive in our lives. Genesis 1, 2 and 3. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Guess what? And there was light. The reason you must begin to reposition the way you think and the way that you function is because many times, folks, we are stuck between the lines of our limited thinking. You need to get out of there and say, let there be light. It's time for someone to get out of the void. Hear me. It's time for someone to tell the darkness to turn into light. Amen. The season I was in is not the season I'm in right now. Things are about to change. God is doing some new things in my life. God is bringing me out of a season that it had its purpose. It had its place in my life, but it's not where I am meant to stay. You see, you don't have to accept the situation as it is. God gave you a part of Himself called creativity, and you can go home today and turn it loose in your life. Turn it loose in your faith. Turn it loose in your prayer life. Turn it loose in your working of your mind and in your understanding of who you are and where your life is headed. Speak, folks. Speak into your situation and say, let there be light. Come on, God gave it to you. I don't know what the situation of your life looked like before today. But if you will get this word into your heart and you will understand your authority over them, every spirit of the enemy is going to be running from you. You'll begin to declare some things, and change is going to come into your life because you'll be in a season of change, a stand. Whatever need you walked in that door with today, whatever situation you carried into that pew, I'm telling you right now, you can bring it to this altar. You can bring your needs to this altar if you'll step out in faith and begin to walk into a new season. I'm asking, is there anybody that wants to get into that new season that I'm talking about today? This altar's open. God, I'm tired of it where I'm at. I'm going to take these raw materials, God, that you've given me. I'm going to take this leadership that you put me under, and we're going to create some things. Come on, folks. Hallelujah, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Help us here today.